Hi, this is Russ. This is with ShatterTheDarkness.net. The course, Confronting the Powers, we have had a number of books that we, well, three specific ones that we think are helpful. The Incomparable Christ, Revival Fire, and Prayer on Fire as additions to the course lectures and study notes. I also listed on the webpage about nine other resource pieces that you can take a look at. And in the context of confronting the powers through the Great Commission, there's no other way to do this also, by the way. And we've said this again and again throughout the entire course. Listen, the Theology for the Third Millennium courses, this really is one of the foundational courses to all of it. And if you're one of the students and one of the researchers who have taken the course, you've probably seen that we've added some more hours to the original course. And down the road, we may add a few more hours, and we always seek to notify past students. Keep your link and check every once in a while, or send me an email, and I'll let you know what we're doing. But this is just really just a little oversight message, or overview message, rather, on about nine other resources, that I think that are very, very good. Let me take a look at some of these. In your studies, I think it's important, as I've, again, taught courses. I've preached for 30 years, but I've also taught courses and on college level, on Bible school level, lay level, so forth. And I really think that investing, training, and training, I think, also has to be put onto the field, though. So I think that in the day that we live, where there's an enormous, and I think fulfillment of biblical prophecy out of Daniel, an enormous expanse of knowledge, our knowledge needs to come from the living God, and our perspective needs to come from those who have been led, guided, and directed by the Lord to, you know, write materials, preach messages, teach, and really help the body of Christ understand. So we're getting ready to probably in the next few months, hopefully, if finally unleash the book, The Black Awakening. And we think that's going to be a major impact in the body. And there's going to be a lot to deal with once that book and material comes out. But I want to tell you about some of the things that I think that are encouraging along the way. And I'm going to mention books. These are extras. We do not require these in the course. I've used them in other courses. And I just want to encourage you that when you think in terms of confronting the powers through the Great Commission, being, again, a witness for Christ in the world that we live in, some of the materials that I think will help you that you can teach Bible school, teach in your classes, Sunday school classes, use material in preaching, sharing, preparing, or even you preparing. But I think it's very important. Let me mention the first book, and I just became familiar with this in the last month. It's called Intoxicated with Babylon by Steve Gallagher. Now listen, this is a book that as I begin to delve into it, I realize Steve has definitely gotten, he must have the gift of discernment to look at things on a cultural level, to be able to look out at in a cultural way, look into the Word of God, and show comparisons about what's happening spiritually. There's a moral breakdown, spiritual breakdown, the rise of Babylon and the seduction of our culture, the corruption of the church. And so I think his title, Intoxicated with Babylon, is very appropriate. This is spoken about in the book of Revelation from chapter 16, 17, and 18, that this spiritual system will rise. And it's not going to come out of the blue. That's what we need to understand. I keep saying the frog in the kettle approach is simply this. Some say that you can put a frog in the water and slowly, in a bucket of water or, you know, pan of water, and slowly heat up the water. And little by little by little, doesn't recognize it until he's literally cooked. Now, I've never tried it, of course, but I understand the concept. There is a progressive. And the way I see it, in my understanding of ritual and secret societies and the left-hand path initiation, there is this taking in the darkness by small increments. so as to darken a person more. It's like if you had one of those lights that you can turn it slowly, not just click it off, but slowly. I mean, to where literally you really don't see anything change, and then do it again until it gets darker. Well, that's the concept of the rise of Babylon, the spiritual counterfeits of signs, wonders, and miracles, the thrusting out of every kind of moral evil that will deceive those who are perishing. So the unparalleled ramping up of seduction, deception, demonic manifestation, distraction of alternatives, moral corruption to, again, cloud judgment, darken understanding, and bring the mind to futility. Those two avenues will continue to be used. So I think Steve does a great book, and in taking a look at that book, it really gives you, and I believe it's a good book to use for believers who may be like having half of their, you know, one foot in the world and one foot, you know, in the kingdom. And, you know, because as a believer, it's easy when we are spiritually passive to slowly be dampened down and darkened and spiritually weakened, and then even caught in the trap. So I think it's very important to read a book like this. I think that book will give some insight to some scriptural areas that will give insight, I believe, as Steve has been led by the Spirit of God, to give insight of what to avoid, some of the dangers for the body of Christ, what is really valuable in life, and to realize that there is an intoxication going on. So if any of you have ever been drinkers, before I got saved, I was. And it all started off with drinking one beer or one glass of wine, and then another, and then another, and then another. And that's what's happening to the world around us. It simply is becoming more intoxicated. And the more intoxicated, again, the judgment is going. Spiritual discernment, spiritual, you know, understanding, and openness to even darker things. So, very important book nowadays as we prepare for the coming apocalypse of the Antichrist. And just before that, the great revolt, the great anarchy, the great chaos that is intended to bring great collapse, so that the apocalypse of the Antichrist, who will be betrayed as a savior to the crisis, but that's all, again, designed spiritually. So we need to understand, again, that the satanic agenda, there is clear design, there is a grid mapping of the earth. I mean, we've got to understand the level of intelligence, demonically, of course, in preparation and method and scheme and so forth that's being operated. Because later in the book of Revelation, when you read Revelation 18, you're going to find out about the dragon who was able to, you know, lead the whole world astray. When you read about Babylon and later on about the dragon who was able to lead the whole world, that's his whole goal. So we're not talking about individuals or even cultic movements or even African nations where there's, quote, supposedly more demonization, which is it's no longer true. Not when I've dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases. So it's very important for us to realize that it's a global issue, that it's a globalization of demonization and a dumbing down spiritually to bring about the most horrendous lie in human history. It all began with the entrance of the fallen cherub bringing a lie to the human race, and it ends when he is manifest in a counterfeit incarnation to seize control of the political world, the religious world, and the world of military. So it's a great book to read and get prepared and see. And I like to think of it in terms of, in a lot of this research that we do in confronting the powers, is dealing with really spying out the land, going into Jericho basically and spying out and taking a look at what the enemy's doing, where he's at. You know, Christians are supposed to have Holy Spirit discernment. The Word of God is to give us preemptive discernment in biblical prophecy concerning what it is that Satan is doing and what it is that God's going to be doing. So just as much as we would look at things like Israel and events in the world around us, we also need to be looking at catastrophic events, earth changes, because of the ramping up and manifestation of dark presence, the decaying of creation, Romans chapter 8, we're going to find that the rumblings of nature will correspond with the development and manifestation of demonic presence, which already and to come is unparalleled in human history. Now, you might think in terms of past human history, some pretty bad places, but we're not talking about just some places. We have in the United States Moloch worship out there in California at the Bohemian Grove. You have the possibility of over 100,000 covens in the United States, according to Father Shefton in a book on Satanism he wrote in the 90s. Other estimates are up to 60 million New Agers in the United States, Wiccans and Pagans and Druids, Santeria, Paloma Ombi, and all kinds of cult movements, the Moonies and the Way International, Divine Light Mission, and you can go over a lot of different kinds of cults. We know about Jim Jones, and we know about David Koresh. We know about how millions of Americans and others have been drawn in to the Mormonism and the Jehovah's Witnesses, which also deny Christ, present a different Christ, and to formulate a whole different, you know, scenario of salvation and spirituality. Well, that's one of the books anyway I wanted to share, and I think it's a very good book to really let God use it in your life. Let me mention another book, Hitler in the New Age. Hitler in the New Age, and the reason I think it's such a great book for a number of reasons, I probably got about 200 books that deal with Hitler. And we've done a lot of delving into the occult side of the rise of Hitler. It's been my contention that what occurred in Nazi Germany is very similar to what's occurring now, and that the rise of Hitler is almost like a miniature Antichrist scenario, an attempt. But again, in the World War I and II, we have, what, over 50 million people that died. We have, again, world wars. We have carnage, unbelievable. And it all came from a spiritual ideology that the demons had given that was turned into political ideology that spoke as far as Nazi political ideology and policy concerning the Jews. And the ultimate goal was to wipe the Jews out and to annihilate all of Israel and the Jews. And the reason is, there's biblical prophecy that all Israel shall be saved, and that Christ will come there, visibly, physically, and rule and reign. So, it's been my contention for many years for you to think about this, at least, that I think that Satan, who knows prophecy, tries to outrun it, and tries to strike and remove the recipients of prophecy so that it cannot occur. So he attacks in every single way, and that's revealed clearly in Revelation chapter 12, when the ancient dragon is standing there before Israel. Look at the picture of this. Israel is about ready to give birth to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the dragon is waiting. He knows. Obviously, we read in the Gospels the attacks that Satan made, the temptation in Matthew 4, his leaving for a more opportune time, his entrance into Judas to go betray Christ, his involvement in the death of Christ. So when you look at all of that, you see this, you know, Revelation 12, you see that not only did he know of the prophecy, but then he goes after Israel to try to annihilate. And when he can't destroy Israel, he goes after the rest of the body of Christ, those who believe in Jesus. So I want you to hear what I have to say about this book, because I really think it's... I've probably had 40 of these books to use in classes and to give out personally. I'm down to one or two right now. You can get them on the web right now. Hitler the New Age is by Bob Rosio, a friend, a brother in Christ. I've met him a couple of times. I even had him come in to Ohio here and do some seminar and speaking on the book. Listen, Bob Rosio is a very, very keen and astute writer, but let me tell you how I found the book. We were on a Shadow of the Darkness, you know, team going into Pennsylvania. We were digging up bones at a ritual site to bring back to the University of Akron and to display in a cult crime course that I was allowed to also participate in teaching at the police academy. Now, while the team was there up in northern northeast Pennsylvania, we were involved with dealing with some Satanists and coven, and we had to have some protection and so forth. But in the context of all the prayer mapping and all that we were doing and getting, I happened to see a bookstore while we were kind of just waiting for, you know, some things to occur at one point. And I told the guys with me, I said, I need to go in here. And when I did, I found this book, Hitler the New Age, and immediately felt just led to get it. And that's been, gosh, I think in the very early 90s. And so I want to, you know, recommend Hitler the New Age, because what Bob Rosio does is he begins to go back into the days of Nazism and show that there was a spiritual development of the political movement, a spiritual development of the political ideology. The reason that he came to power, that Hitler came to power, was completely by supernatural direction of demonic presence. In pre-Nazi Germany, one occult writer, occult historian, says it was the first greatest proliferation of occultic literature in world history, according to him, in the book called The Occult Establishment. And he said it occurred just before pre-Nazi Germany, and it had everything to do with the development of individual small cultic societies, occult societies, the Thule Society, and many others. And so the literature, including Madame, you know, Helena Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine, Alice Bailey's materials later, all these materials leading the Germans to delve in to the spiritual counterfeit that was being offered to Germany, to psychics, to those conjurers of the dead. Mediums became a major thing in pre-Nazi Germany. And the occult ideology that said that the Jews were literally a pig race, subhuman race, and you know, the fueling of this nationalism. And we see very clearly that the demonic realm, the ascended masters, the demonic realm, literally raised up Hitler, Himmler, and others to join in an occult-oriented political, military, and spiritual system. And I think it's very vital. That's why I also recommend in this course, The Occult History of the Third Reich. It's a DVD, and it's also listed there. You can probably find it at Amazon and get a used copy. But to see that, or see any of the videos, and you're going to see how a nation, by the millions, were seduced. Their search for Aryan blood, which was really Nephilim blood, powers to create a godlike human being, and a new future, you know, race. The whole issue of the Third Reich was to do what? To reign for 1,000 years, a counterfeit to the millennium. Hitler is seen to be a counterfeit to a savior. They replaced the Bible in churches by putting his Mein Kampf, My Pain, the book Hitler wrote. And you will see how they developed the SS, and you will see how they, how all this was occurring there. And then Bob Rosio begins to give the similarities here in the United States, Europe and England included, but the United States, in the development of the New Age movement, literally spiritually energizing our nation in a demonic sense. Spiritual alternatives, secret societies, occult-laden you know, activities and experiences are occurring all over the United States. Every kind of spiritual experience that has been spawned from the New Age, people are really having, but it's leading them not to God, but away from God, away from Christ. And that's the nature of the dark spirits. And that's the initiation that we're talking about. The initiation that's spiritually giving it a counterfeit alternative. And with the rise and the critical mass, the sense of more and more and more individuals, we're also seeing more and more and more a sense of hatred of Christendom, of Christ, of Christians in church. And you're going to see more and more and more of that kind of anti-Christianity in its development. And that's what occurred in Nazi Germany. And that's what's occurring now. And so he shows the parallels. And by the way, from the writer of the occult book called The Occult Establishment, he said the second greatest proliferation of occult literature occurred when? In the 1960s in the United States, when occult books and literature from all over the world began to pack our culture. We had a spiritual, we had a spiritual influence that brought cultural divide and cultural clash, and literally changed the United States to this very day we're living in, to where you run through the 60s, along with the Satanic Bible, the Satanic Church, the 70s, the New Age movement, the development in the military of Satanic super soldiers, Satanic ritual abuse, to where now we're dealing with Satanic ritual abuse, up to 5 million diagnosed cases nationwide, and many of those are in their 40s and 50s, so we see where it began. Our military was infiltrated through the occult-oriented Nazi ideology when the scientists came over to give to our military, the spiritual weaponization of psi powers, split personality, Manchurian candidates, the creation of what they call chosen ones. See, before Antichrist is unleashed to the world, he's going to be around at the very least 30 years prior. And in that 30-year development or more, we will also see the development of not only his elite, maybe that's called the Illuminati, of his seizure of financial power, political power, military power, of his literal infusion of spiritual technology, remote viewing, technology and weapon making, for the future. Because not only does he need a mass number of his army to bring about the Great Revolt prior to his release to the world, we also know that just a few years later, Revelation 19:19, he's going to need to amass the largest military in the history of the world. And if you read Revelation 19:19 and take that verse in and memorize that verse and contemplate that again and again, you're going to see that really there is the end goal that Satan has. He wants the power. He wants the seduction. He wants the nations. He wants the millions. But he wants them for a reason. Because he knows that the living Christ is coming, my friend. He knows the living Christ is coming. He's preparing the world's largest army, political system, governmental system, spiritually decadent, deceptive system, to draw the largest, most militarized, most spiritually oriented, technologically advanced military in the history of the world onto the battlefield there in Israel at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the visible return. Revelation 19:19, you will read where the beast, the Antichrist, has brought together through all the nations all of his army out there on the field, and he's there for one reason: to battle the descent of the living Christ as Jesus returns. So when you back that up, and that's one of the messages we've given out free from the Black Awakening on the front of the Shatter site. Play it backwards. That's what that's all about. So the development to get to there has to be underway for many, many years. And if we understand biblical prophecy correctly, then you should be able to look into the political movement, military movement, into how in the world and where in the world is he developing his super soldiers, who they are, and so forth. So I think it's a great book to give an overview of the way in which, in a smaller way, which impacted much of the world, the way the coming impact to the entire globe will occur. All of it, including the war, the devastation, the uniting of nations, all of it has to do with spiritual deception, methodology, satanic manifestation, and it involves, in that last seven-year period, probably more people's deaths, maybe 2 billion or more, in a seven-year period, slaughtered more than anything in all of history. So it's unparalleled. So it's important that you study it. The next book is Peter Wagner's book, and it's an older book that he wrote, so you might only find old copies or whatever, which is fine. And I think it's really an old book that I think is really one of the better things he's done. Confronting the Powers, way, you know, back in the 90s when we read it and studied it and so forth, I used it in courses and so forth. We encourage the reading of that because he also displays the same thing we're saying, that even when he goes into Christian history and missions and so forth, where there is, in evangelization, there's this constant confronting of demonic powers and the scheming of the enemy. And simply this, 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul says, we're not unaware of Satan's schemes. It comes from the Greek word where we get from methodology, where his planning. So I think it's a great book that gives you insight biblically, historically, and gives a focus to the fact that we are in evangelization, in prayer, in the advancement. We cannot advance without confrontation. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, not prevent it, not stop it. Jesus talked about developing an indefeatable church. He talked about birthing the church, the body of Christ, in the context of spiritual warfare. That's what we need to understand. We're not saved just for the love and the joy of going to heaven. Though that is probably the center issues, yes. But we've been born again, birthed into, baptized by the Holy Spirit, into the body of Christ, into a body that Jesus has in the world. It's the only thing that contests Satan's total rule. I mean, think in terms of Satan having, you know, no confrontation from God, no confrontation. Even in the Old Testament, Israel was Satan's confrontation. It was God, even through the weaknesses so many times of Israel, and even through the weaknesses of the body of Christ, God is confronting Satan now, though, with a spiritual authority that Jesus gave us. And that's why I say the Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he said, go and make disciples. In that process, we're going to have to encounter every person being led to Jesus. The Word of God teaches they're already legally owned by the satanic presence. In Colossians chapter 1, when we get saved, we have been transferred from the dominion of darkness, the rule of darkness, into the kingdom, the basileia, the rule of God, of Christ. And so being born again, we've been forgiven. We're loved. Christ comes in. A new nature is given. The old nature associated with Satan, Ephesians chapter 2, has been rendered powerless. And literally, his legal rights to our lives have been cut off. And the legal ground now is Christ. And by the way, 1 John 3:8 tells us the reason. You gotta have this memorized. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The reason he came. Or you can read over there in Colossians 3, 14, 15, and so forth, where it says that he made a public spectacle of the demonic powers, that he literally triumphed over them by the cross. So we find that there is literally a spiritual victory, but it's all in the context of battle. Your salvation is a spiritual victory. But being born again, we are now in that battle ourselves. Our enemy is prowling around against even us. We're to have on the armor of God so that we can take our stand. That's normal correct, biblical, spirit-led Christianity. Jesus taught about the battle. Jesus, that's why he gave us authority in Luke chapter 10. I have given you authority to trample. Why do we have the authority? It's to be used. It's not something to be, you know, look at or think about. Most Christians don't even haven't even appropriated the fact they have that authority. That authority is to be used. Now, we express that through the course. I can't express it enough as a Christian, as a pastor, that every Christian should go to Luke 10, and when you read, when Jesus is saying, I have given, every believer should be able to say, Lord, I appropriate right now, I reckon it, I count it as true, I accept the authority you've given to me. It's in the perfect tense of the Greek, a permanent presence within your life. But it's authority to do what? Not direct traffic, not to pick out other Christian sins. The authority is a spiritual authority, and it's the only existing authority on the earth. I mean, the Lord Jesus, of course, but ministered through us. The authority of Jesus given to every single believer to do what? Trample. Trample the dark powers. To crush them. And Jesus goes on to say in that verse, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. So every believer who is beginning to grow in the Lord and discipled correctly will learn not only how to relate to the Lord, love the Lord, worship, be filled with the Spirit of God, be a part of the local body of Christ, give and things like that, but also take up the cross and follow Christ. Become a soul winner. You're commanded and called and trained to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be launched out into the world, to preach good news to every creature, and in the context of that, pray for those who are sick for healing, and every time you encounter demonic presence, to order the spirits and cast them out by the authority of Jesus, and you're going to see that it's a compassionate ministry, a needed ministry, but it's by and only by that authority. Hey, I've seen this for years now. We've dealt with hundreds and hundreds of demons speaking and yelling and screaming at us. They all know Jesus is God. They all know he's the Savior. They all fear him. They don't care about, you know, Buddha, Muhammad, Quetzalcoatl, the New Age. They see that all as part of their diversion. That's for real, man. That is absolutely for real right there on the field. So as you're launched out to win souls, which is the passion of heaven, the goal of heaven, it's what it's all about. It's what it's all about. Becoming a great prayer warrior is part of being, that's part of the tools of the mission of evangelization. The privilege is worship. The mission is evangelization and discipleship and the sending out of more to reach. Jesus even said in the Gospel of Mark, he's not going to return visibly to the world until every single place in the world, every nook and cranny, every single place has heard. And we know from the biblical revelation that that will occur. That will occur. That's what gives me optimism about, you know, preaching Jesus and going. Number one, all of heaven backs me. It backs every single Christian who becomes a soul winner, who gets involved in evangelization, and gets involved in helping to win the world to Christ. The Spirit of God's been given the power of the Holy Spirit that you might be my witness, Jesus said. Study that in the book of Acts and you'll find every Spirit-filled believer was a soul winner, an effective soul winner. And with many of them, signs and wonders accompanied because they were just passionate about it. Jesus said that when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. It's the center mission of all of heaven. That's where we should spend our... You know, if you're going to go fishing, don't go fishing a 2-inch mud hole on the side of the lake. You're not going to catch anything. Anybody who's a wise fisherman knows they want to go where they can catch fish. Listen, if you're going to give yourself, if you're going to, you know, spend your life, listen, at the center of that, remember this. Worship is our privilege and our joy. You can have that any moment, every day, any day, all the time. Evangelization, the Great Commission, that is the mission of the church. And if that is not being done, we have been, we are in disobedience. We have been seduced and probably spiritually weakened. And when evangelization like that is not being done, there's probably far less emphasis and probably no testimony of healing. And there's probably no exposure of, confrontation with, and casting out of demonic presence and manifestation of that presence. So it's vital that we understand that we have been called to take up the cross, be that great disciple, to be a part of the Great Commission, winning souls for all of our life, and that we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit to do it, the authority to come against the demonic, and so forth. So you're going to encounter that. You're going to encounter that, and there's no way of getting around it. And the closer we get, we are reaching the days. Christian, listen to me. We are reaching the days of the unparalleled ramping up, manifestation, and presence of demonic spirits than ever in the history of the fallen human race. And it's not going away. The Word of God, this is why I'm so, the Word of God prophecy convinces me. Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 from our studies. The Spirit expressly, clearly, passionately says that in the last days, seducing spirits, a ramping up of seducing spirits. You read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in accordance with the work of Satan, the Antichrist is coming in accordance with that work, a secret power of lawlessness. That's why secret societies and the so-called Illuminati, and you see, the Antichrist has his people. He's not going to come out of the blue. He's born the Antichrist. He's probably born in the context of ritual and satanic bloodlines and Nephilim bloodlines. Oh, we'll talk about that later in other courses. The Black Awakening. But anyway, let me go on to the fourth book that I want to, really highly recommend. One of my favorite books of all time, and I think that it's a great influence and a great impact, is A Blaze for God. A Blaze for God by Wesley Duell. You cannot read that book. Listen, as a believer, if you're already in fire, you're going to find out it'll fire you up all the more. It's going to fuel you. It's going to be just like putting nitro into your life. When you ask the Holy Spirit to use that book in your life, it's like sermons being preached. It's just so really anointed, so really blessed. So I encourage you to get A Blaze for God and read that book in the presence of God and just really, let God teach you. Packed with the Word of God, packed and written from a highly experienced, very seasoned, spiritual soul winner, warrior, Wesley Duell, on the mission fields and so forth. I've never met him, don't know him, wish I could someday, but he's I appreciate the book, very timely, that God has gotten out, and I know that God will bless you with it. It deals with the larger picture of massive impact. See, it's like me, I want to run around and try to win everybody I can to Jesus, but I'm only one individual, and I might only get to two or three people this week, and I'm praying, and have been praying for over 20 years in our area. That's why we take REAP trips, these trips that go to 30, 40 cities around us, and every single day praying for spiritual awakening to strike. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you go over the review on the book of Revival Fires, and you read Wesley Duell's book on Revival Fires, you'll know what I mean. That this is when God strikes a city, strikes sometimes a local church in which it becomes so manifest with the presence of God, a million people will come over to it. A million people will come and visit to be touched by the manifest working and power of God. Now, that also occurs in cities and in regions and sometimes a continent, like England during the days of Whitfield and Wesley and Jonathan Edwards and the great revival and the impact of spiritual awakening. Let me tell you one story. The battleship North Carolina. The battleship North Carolina was a real ship. You can go online and see a ship named after that and a real story. And you can just put in Google Revival and Battleship North Carolina, and you can probably read the whole report that way too. But it was four individual believers that were somewhat weak and backslidden. They asked the captain if they could begin to have a time to meet together and pray. And the captain gave them some dirty old little room way at the bottom of the ship. That's where they went. They began to try to pray and so forth. Well, all of a sudden, the power of God struck those four men. Those four men began to praise God, repent of every sin, seek God, pray, crying out Jesus' name, worshiping. They were making a lot of noise, too, when the power of God hit that way. They were overwhelmed. Other shipmates came down only to make fun of them. But as they approached and got near them, they were stricken by the power of God in such a way that they repented and turned to Jesus Christ, to where the majority of the sailors on that ship were turning to Christ. It was a massive revival on that ship. Then that ship would go to the Atlantic coast, port by port by port. When they came to the port, instead of all the sailors coming out and going to the bars and the prostitutes and whatever else, they're out preaching Jesus. The power of God began to touch those port cities. Now, it says this, the conservative estimate was that 1 million people was swept into the kingdom of God, born again, in a six-month period. And that's what we need to see today. I believe, personally, when Antichrist, you know, does come to power, based on Revelation chapter 7, that with the evil that erupts, and God then displaying the two witnesses to the world around us, there'll be such an evangelization. It may be the largest revival and turning to Christ in all of history, and that may be part of the reason by the mid-tribulation time that the Antichrist breaks the covenant, not only with Israel to open the gates for Israel to be attacked, but also that he literally goes crazy and orders a decree for Christians worldwide to be killed. And the attempt of the annihilation of the Christian church will be on a global scale far beyond what we saw in ancient Rome. But it won't work. The body of Christ will never be annihilated. There might be millions that die, but it also tells us that Antichrist will have a reach global. And so I'm just encouraging you to let you know that that some of the greatest things that, of reaching 10, 20, 30, 100, 1,000, I would pray that God, listen, may you be encouraged to literally seek the Lord about reaching thousands upon thousands upon thousands for Jesus. Not just a few, but thousands upon thousands. I really pray that you will consider wanting to see many people in your personal life, and that you'll want to see so many get saved that I God's going to do it in your life. God will do this. If you will give God the time, if you will give God the willingness, and if you will simply obey Jesus, you're going to find that you're going to be able to, you know, reach out literally to just millions as far as the whole of the body of Christ. But why couldn't you reach, you know, 20s, 30s, and 40s, and hundreds? You can, and that's the important thing, that you can. And that's vital for you to know and vital for you to realize. Well, let me go on to this next book, and I'm just going to go over these real quick. The book called Fire, Bill Bright and others, kind of a novel-oriented that really kind of talks about the spiritual awakening that occurred and, you know, so if you like novels, if you like to read it in that format, it's written in that format, how God's power and presence affected the development, even the United States. And great, again, material to build vision and the vision of what I believe God desires. The sixth book is Charles Finney's Experiencing the Presence of God, which deals with his lectures on revival, the power of the Spirit of God. And again, you're coming from somebody where everywhere he was going, the power of God was being displayed, and God would strike, and so many would get saved, and there's a clear display of the power of God, the salvation, repentance of sin, and literally affecting churches and cities, and breaking out revivals, and just enormous things occurred. So that's an enormous, the last one of those books I had, I gave to a brother in Christ that didn't want to give it back. he still has it. He hasn't. That happens to a lot of my books when I've given them out. That's why I'm more protected of them. I got hundreds of them out, literally, I'm telling the truth, that have never been returned. So I have a hard time lending any out any longer because I like to use. But I'll get that book again, and listen, it's going to impact you. Let me give you three other things. These are videos. The first one is The Seven Signs of Christ's Return. Now that is a tremendous video, not only to watch and to see seven of the crucial areas, the nation of Israel, the unification of Europe and the coming rise of Antichrist, the seduction, the coming development of the false prophet, and so forth. So it is a tremendous overview. And I think that that is a great DVD if you're in a group or in a church, that it can be used. Invite all the non-Christians in you can. Have a great big, you know, pastors and so forth. You know, we've done this with video and film before where we have a larger screen. And it's a great night. Have food, whatever. Invite the neighborhood. Bring everybody over. Show them the film and give an invitation to come to Christ at the end. And people will get saved. But that's a tremendous film. And I think it's important in the study. I show it usually in the local groups here when I teach a course looking again. Biblical prophecy isn't just about Jesus returning. There's so much more in there. And this is dealing with seven signs. And it's just an excellent, powerful movie. And I really encourage you to buy a used one. And if you have lost friends or whatever, get a copy. Buy one for them. Invest in the kingdom of God. Listen, if you can go out and buy a charcoal thing or one of those things for summertime to cut, $200 for one of those things, surely you can spend $50 or $20, $25 on a few of these and give out. And that's a tremendous thing. Invest in God's kingdom. Let me also mention the occult history of the Third Reich, and I would encourage you to get that in any other kind of DVD or video that deals with the occult side of Hitler, Himmler, and so forth. Because what occurred there 60 years ago never ended. When 80,000 Nazi SS troops went through the rat lines, through the Catholic Church and so forth, many of them faked being Catholic priests. They went to South America, South Africa, other parts of the world. Do you realize in Pennsylvania, the internment camps, Germans were released, and other Nazis were just literally brought in undercover. And there, that scheme that was done there has gone worldwide. They are part of, they believe in a Fourth Reich, by the way. They believe, the old Nazi occultists believe in a Führer, a leader, a world leader to come. Even Hitler knew that. And some of them believe that they'll be able to clone and resurrect Hitler and so forth. And, you know, that's another whole side of the story. So, or if you read The Sign, the book called The Sign by Van Kampen, he believes that, you know, that Hitler could be the one that, again, was shot with a mortal wound and died and then was resurrected or brought back to life, at least. In his case, it would have to be cloning. And a lot of the underground Luciferians have told me that's what they're working on, which is pretty strange. So if you can see the occult threads there and realize that it's beneath the surface of the waters, I like to say it like this. Right now we're seeing the shark's fin. I know I've been out to the Pacific coast 35 times. My folks live out there. Sitting at Huntington Beach, Laguna Beach, Newport Beach, and so forth, up to Seal Beach. And there's been a couple of times where, you know, when out of the far... the docks, as you go way, way out, you can see at times a group of, a couple of sharks. Now, one thing about sharks is when you see the fin in the water coming towards you, the fin is not the problem. It's what it's connected to. In this course, in all of the exposure we're giving on occultism, the ramping up the satanic side and all that kind of stuff, all we're talking about is the fin. All of this fin is connected to the real beast, who's literally connected to it, and he's coming. He's coming to devour the world. And without Jesus, people are toast. And we need to be about, you know, the business of massive, global, personal, citywide, region-wide, spiritual awakening, evangelization. And I would ask you to surrender to Jesus right now and become a soul winner the rest of your life. To surrender to Jesus, take up the cross, look over what Philip did in Acts chapter 8, and do all that you can to become the greatest soul winner. All of the power of God. Matter of fact, read the book of Acts again and notice that on the field in evangelization, that's where all the miracles, signs, wonders, healings, and deliverances main occurring. It's mainly occurring there. Nothing wrong with getting together and meeting on Sunday morning in church and Bible study and so forth. But you know how it is. Many Christians, they go to church services, Bible studies, and groups 3 or 4 times a week, and they don't do anything else. Listen, gather together once, maybe twice, for the church meetings or whatever, and then be on the field 2 or 3 times. Matter of fact, being on the field with a group of believers, prayed up together, worshiping together, and launching out is very powerful. Let alone do we get to evangelize and see the power of God. And so that's why we have many testimonies. I can sit here and just go after story after story after story after story of individual salvations, of providential leading, of people that were demonized that got delivered and saved, of whole groups of people, households, of revival times, and so forth. There's one more video here I want to just mention. It's called Escape from Hell. And again, I think we showed it for an evangelism group, and we showed it on a larger screen and gave invitation for people to come to Christ. Now, that's why I think, again, a film like that can be used or given to others. So it's whether it may be a youth group. So I'm just giving you some resources here that you might have some things that can be used in the process. As God, listen, to whom much is given, much is required. And in all of the course, maybe you're done with all the lectures, whatever else, the good news is you've got them. You can go over them again and again if you need to. You can make a CD of one, take it into your Sunday school class, and use it that way, and use some of the materials. But by all means, and I've done this all of my Christian life. I really have. I couldn't do it. Some people just went off to school and studied for 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you know, getting all their degree, and they mainly spent time reading books. Listen, I've done both along, and I'm doing it this very day. I'm still working on. I still have plans on some other master's degrees. I'm still buying books left and right. I still study, but it's in the context of being on the field, seeking spiritual awakening, seeking souls for Christ, ministering to those demonized, praying for healing, seeing what God is doing, and I enjoy going to church and worshiping and fellowshipping. So it can be done. Why? Because as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the amazing and glorious thing. Jesus said it in John 15, I have chosen you to go and bear fruit. Worship, my friend, is your privilege. The mission is winning the world to Christ. Prayer is the tool. The power of the Holy Spirit gives you the radiance and the fire to become a witness. And he's the operational leader. And as you step out to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 9:22, you will become more and more powerful to the point that nobody can stop you. Nobody. Instead of being meek and weak, you will be changed, my friend. Changed into this powerful believer, a growing, matured, seasoned believer. Hell won't cause you fear. Demons won't cause you fear. Atheists, nihilists, existentialists, Wiccans, and, you know, Luciferians, Satanists, on and on and on. There's no fear because you'll be packed with the love of Jesus. The radiance and fire of the Spirit of God is a presence that people will see coming off of you. Your prayers in compassion for the healing of lives, the healing of broken, wounded souls, and the power of God displayed in the greatest possible transformation of humanity is in the gospel, in the act of salvation, in the act of Christ coming into a life, rendering powerless the sin nature that was operating, implanting into us a new divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has, perfect tense, given to us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. We are participants in the divine nature. And then we're told to make, because of this, because of the power, the sheer power of God, the living rivers of life that's inside, swelling inside. Listen, you manifest that into your whole life in obedience. So Christian, receive it by faith. Step out in faith-filled obedience, and the manifestation inwardly and outwardly, let alone the bearing of fruit. My friend, I've never seen in my entire life in 32 years a depressed soul winner. Someone who's actually winning souls to Christ, actually being led by the Spirit of God, actually feeling the joy, the radiance, and the power of God. I've never seen one of those kind of soul winners on the field. They are the greatest threat to the kingdom of darkness. They are the greatest impact for good politically, socially, economically, and in everything else, because the wielding of the presence of the kingdom of God is manifest around them and through them. They're able to help pray in revival and spiritual awakening. They can help see the power of God come in such a way that society can be affected dramatically. Crime curbed. Absolutely, my friend. To the glory of the Lord Jesus, and may God give you strength, may God give you might, may God give you tremendous courage to step out. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, convict any sin in our life, that we might purify ourselves from anything that contaminates our lives, repenting, submitting to God, resisting the devil that he might flee, and stand up in sheer faith and in obedience, eager to win the world of Jesus, eager to win the world of Jesus. So I really Father, I pray for whoever in whatever part of the world, whoever eventually, providentially gets a hold of this, stretch out your hand to them right now at this moment and impact them. God, if they need healing, bless them and heal them. If they need to have the wounds of their life washed off and the power of the Spirit of God built up in their life to give them hope and indefeatable optimism that you can give, do that, Lord Jesus. Deliver them from oppression. Open their eyes by the Spirit of God. Give them a spirit of wisdom, revelation, that they might know Jesus, that Jesus has never left them, never will leave them, and he will be with them every day, all the days of their life and ministry. I commit you to the grace of God. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. This is one of the courses that we offer through Theology for the Third Millennium, and this is Confronting the Powers, and simply an overview of extra books that I think are beneficial for our spiritual strengthening. Blessings to you. Hey, if you ever get a chance, write me a note. Tell me how you're doing.